Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Tuesday, June 21st, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free on the website, whyagain.org. And thanks to the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice, you can go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner. And it'll take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that particular chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for almost 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. If you choose to tap on that, that will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. And we hope people do that soon and often, because it tends to lead to comments and questions and answers and testimonials, as well as improving the life quality of anybody who chooses to engage in those tools. If you have any of those comments or questions, answers, testimonials, feel free to give us a call at 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, it will put a little icon of a hand by your phone number, and I will announce you by your area code and turn on the microphone. And we would appreciate it if you do that, because it makes it far easier for us to live into our intention with this work. The intention with this work is to be of service. And so let us know how we can be of service to you. This year, beginning on January 10th, we began working with the Way of Mastery. And that book or series of three books in one contains what I consider to be a set of tools for creating your own template for mindfulness that is far more productive than just what you would say a standard meditation. It begins with reminding us that we can start to observe that we are creating what we experience in life. And if you have been trained with the Western mind, most of us have, you are conditioned to believe that you are a victim of circumstances and that what other people say and do or don't do that you think they should is primarily responsible for your life experience, whether it's a negative emotional state or confusion or overwhelm or anger or fear. We've learned to attribute a cause and effect relationship to things that merely have a co-relationship. They happen within close proximity to each other, and therefore we think one must be causing the other. And this work from the beginning, from the very first lesson, wants us to understand that's not the way the system works. This way of mastery wants to educate us about how the mind energy that we have control over directly relates to the creation of our emotional states. And so we are the authors of our emotional state, not the victims of it. So I'll remind us all that if you have a comment or a question, even if I'm in the middle of reading from the Way of Mastery or in some kind of a monologue, please feel free to press 1. And also you can email us at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org, or you can email Jeannie at jeannie@yagain.org. And that's especially useful for people who are not listening live, but through the archives. If we get the input from you in an email, we'll address it on the internet show, and as time allows, we will then send you an email telling you what day and time we were able to address your comments or questions or testimonials. So we're working with Lesson 13, which is the first lesson in the second book. And the second book is called The Way of Transformation. And both Lesson 12 and Lesson 13 highlight very heavily the idea that it's really useful to go back over these lessons, looking for ways to get more present, ways to slow down, ways to look at each lesson, each word, each sentence a little bit deeper from a slightly different perspective. And so the first part of this lesson 13, the lesson is titled, You Are Unlimited Spirit. So the first part of this work is to recognize that there's a whole level of life experience, energetic connection to a higher mind and wisdom that each and every one of us has access to. And most of us have been conditioned out of slowing down and paying attention to it. And most of us have been conditioned to believe that we're victims of life rather than the creators of our experience of life. So the first part of this is an exercise that says, why don't you just drop this thought into your mind a few times a day and see what happens. Quote, I am not what I have perceived myself to be. I am unlimited, pure spirit, and everything is available to me. Therefore, in this moment, I choose to open access to other dimensions of experience so that I might call this moment to me in a different way. I might start asking, what do I notice around the periphery of whatever information my five senses present to me? Sight, sound, hearing, taste, and touch. And so where we left off was on page 157 near the top. It said, you will discover that you can trust your unlimited spirit. And as you sit in your car looking at one who's behind the wheel of the automobile next to you, and as you allow yourself to relax and notice what is around the edges of your perception, as it touches your consciousness, you will realize that this means that minds are not separate from one another. If their mind is touching yours, yours is touching theirs. And you are free to send them love. You're free to notice what you pick up from another. And without even opening the physical mouth, you can send the answer of wisdom that they are seeking. Imagine being able to go into your grocery store and push your little metal carts up and down the aisles so that you can fill it with boxes of what appears to be fresh food. Imagine that while you're doing that, you can notice the thought waves of those around you. Imagine beginning to pick up what is going on in their drama, their story, their life, and actually being able to telepathically communicate to them the answers to their dilemmas. Would that not feel like a greater degree of freedom than what you're accustomed to? The way of transformation absolutely requires that you be committed to living differently. For is not transformation a change from the status quo? How can you experience transformation if you do not use time to think and be differently? Crying out to me as Yeshua will not do it. Reading 1,000 holy books will not do it. One thing and one thing only will bring you into the transformation that you have sought, and that is the willingness to abide right where you are differently. Guy Finley talks about this, and he says, we have become master seminar attendees. We will travel hundreds, if not thousands, of miles. We will let ourselves be hit on the head with peacock feathers. We might even stoop so low as to eat carrot quiche and kiss people's feet and bow and scrape. And the problem with that, he says, is that when we're in the middle of our life and a situation comes up that is a challenge, we nearly have a heart attack going through all of those things we've read and studied and experienced in these various seminars. And we nearly give ourselves a heart attack trying to figure out who we should be in this moment. This isn't about reading books. This isn't about listening to lectures. This isn't about being inspired. This is about living your life differently, choosing to spend time differently, willingness to abide right where you are differently. Like the kind of thing I was talking about yesterday, several different people. And it's growing because there were a couple more yesterday who had this, where they're looking at their life and they're reporting it to me. So we're using the same data points because I don't live their life and I'm not following them around with cameras, but they're telling me what's going on in their life and they reach this negative conclusion. And I'm sitting there listening actively and rearranging the thoughts to a possible either completely neutral or even a positive interpretation to put on the very same data points. That's an example of using my time differently, being differently in the moment. The way of transformation absolutely requires that you be committed to living differently. Now, this doesn't mean you have to be committed to living differently. You can choose not to do the path of transformation. You can choose not to do the exercises that are offered in the way of the heart. You can delay this curriculum as long as you want. However, if you want to move through what's possible through the way of transformation, it absolutely requires that you be committed to living differently. Why is that? Because they're trying to be mean? No, because we're living in a world where certain universal laws apply, and if I keep doing the same thing over and over, I'm going to keep getting the same kind of results. If I want different results, I have to do things differently. So how do I act? How do I spend time differently? How do I choose to be different? Can I just read a bunch of books? Can I cry out to somebody to save me? And no, it doesn't work that way. I have to make the choice and be committed to spending time differently and living my life differently and creating a different experience of my life in this moment right where I am. So the text goes on and says, begin again with the simple exercise of reminding yourself that in truth, you are unlimited spirit and you are abiding in all dimensions at the same time. All the extraordinary abilities are already inherent in your consciousness. For if they were not, it would mean that the Creator creates with inequality. Now, your egoic mind might respond, well, you might have been born with that gift, Yeshua, but I don't have it. No, it just doesn't work that way. The Creator creates its offspring. And the offspring of creation are made equal in spirit. The only difference in the field of time is that it appears that some have accessed and cultivated their inherent abilities more so than have others. You then use this to perceive that another is more special than you as a way of proving to yourself your lack of worth, your smallness, and your weakness. You think that perhaps someday, if you only lived the next 100 lifetimes trying to be a good person, then maybe these abilities will begin to spontaneously show up in you. However, there are no accidents, and nothing you see that's made manifest in life, yours or anyone else's, has occurred by accident. Everything you see is deliberate. Everything. Therefore, if you would look upon another and say, oh, they can talk with Yeshua, but I could never do that, we recommend you stop lying to yourself. Rather, come to see that if this ability being made manifest in the field of your awareness, it's because you have called it to yourself as a reminder of what is already inherent within you. If another person lays their hands on the body or the forehead of one who is sick, and the one who is sick arises and the disease is no longer present, remember, if you're watching that, you have called that to your experience. You've called it to yourself through that beloved brother or sister, and you've called it into the field of your consciousness to remind you of the truth of your being. Then, if you feel attracted to being a healer, drop everything else that you're committed to and begin healing. It can happen. It's all within the realm of possibility. So, the next segment is titled, Cultivating Unlimited Consciousness. As we enter into these lessons on transformation, you will discover that we begin to speak more directly to you. We will not be, quote, beating around the bush, close quotes. We will not be placating your resistance and your fears. We will not be stroking you for the dramas you've created that have seemed, only seemed, to separate you from the truth of your beingness. You can never be separate from the truth of your beingness. You can never be separate from the powers that created you. For as we move into the way of transformation, the call is being sent from us to you to arise and take responsibility for all that you see, all that you think, all that you choose. Rest assured, if you hear this call, it is because a deeper part of you has called it to you as a way by which you remember that these things are already contained within you. The way of transformation is the way of assuming responsibility for time, for each and every moment of it. For time is not a prison for you. Time is that which flows out of your very consciousness, and there is never a place or a time. This must be important because they repeat it. Never a place or a time which is more conducive to the way of transformation than the place in which you are and the time that is now. Every moment, it's available to you. There is no one without privilege. There is no one by their station in life, as the world would see it, who is limited from watering and cultivating and bringing forth the fruit that rests within their unlimited consciousness. There is no one who is a victim of the world they see. For the world they see truly occurs nowhere except within the field of their awareness, which we call consciousness or mind. Now, if I haven't been exposed to that, if no one's ever taught, if I've been conditioned to the opposite of that, I can absolutely believe that I'm a victim and that I have no power to change these things. And that will be true for as long as I believe it to be true. I can create the experience of it as being true as long as I cherish the thoughts that create that experience. However, in the next moment, as this work has already pointed out to us at least once, in the next moment it becomes absolutely false and absolutely laughable as soon as I see the truth of it, that I have access to unlimited consciousness, as does everyone else. The text goes on and says, the buildings, the automobiles you drive, the dollars in the bank, none of that is real the way your consciousness is real. These are merely symbols of the quality of experience you've chosen to call to yourself as a temporary learning experience. Beloved friends, use time well. And then ask yourself, am I fully committed to transforming my awareness from one who has been sleeping and perceiving myself as limited to the space and time dimensions? Or am I committed to truly hearing my brother's call to take up my cross and follow him? That is the cross of crucifixion, the heavy wooden cross that you've been carrying around you, that's with you, that says, well, I'm really struggling and trying to get to Christ in consciousness, but maybe if I just got rid of my husband, that would do it. Or perhaps if I moved to another location, that would do it. Maybe there's a spiritual technique out there that I haven't found yet. Once I find it and start practicing it, then I can get on with it. if you think that way, you will forever be seeking and never find. The text goes on and says, you are in the holiest of temples right now. Your Christed consciousness, your awareness of self, capital S self, that is the holiest of temples. You abide in the perfect moment for your transformation. Nothing limits you at all or at any time. The power of the freedom of choice is the essence of Christ. And the very power that you have been using to try to convince yourself of your limitations, that is exactly the same power that I used to overcome death. There is no difference. Creative power is just creative power. Mind energy is just mind energy. There is no difference except a wink of an eye, an intention, a commitment, a recognition. That's all. In reality, nothing is impossible to you and nothing unavailable to you. So, what occurs in the consciousness that seems to create the blockage, the obstacle to love's presence? As you create a temporary perceived limitation as a way to call to you certain quality of experience, there is a tendency to fall into the trap of identifying yourself with the constraints that you've set up from your unlimited freedom in order to have a temporary learning experience. And that's critical here. When they use the word temporary, it's a reminder that this physical existence is temporary, and to our higher self, to our unlimited consciousness, it's like the blink of an eye. It might seem, you know, drudgery and agonizingly long and decades, and but in the bigger picture, I remember something that I wrote down as a quote from the old television show Kung Fu with Kwai Chang Kane and played by David Carradine. And one of the quotes, I used to sit there with a notepad when that show was on and write down some of these quotes. One of the quotes was, the reason we can love someone deeply whom we have only known a short time is because our souls do not keep time. That's the essence of this message. Your soul, your higher self, is not the least bit interested in these limitations that you believe in. It's not the least bit damaged or restricted by the limitations you believe in. The very power that you've been using to try to convince yourself of your limitations is exactly the same power that Yeshua used to overcome death. There is no difference except the wink of an eye, an intention, a commitment, a recognition. That is all. In reality, everything is possible for you. Everything is available to you. So as you create a temporary perceived limitation as a way to call to you certain quality of experience, it's a temporary limitation. And it's only in your perception that it's limited. You are not limited at any time. You are unlimited spirit. That's the title of this lesson. So you can create a temporary experience of limitation where, in fact, no limitation exists. And you create that temporary limitation as a way to call to yourself a certain quality of experience. And then there's a tendency to fall into the trap of identifying yourself with the constraints that you've set up from within your unlimited freedom in order to have a temporary learning experience. When in your consciousness, you come to be identified with the boundaries or the constraints, or as they talked about in another lesson, the lines that you've drawn on this completely infinite canvas, When you do that, you create an experience of being imprisoned. That imprisoned experience is actually a complete illusion. And in reality, your unlimited higher self goes on experiencing anything it wants throughout all dimensions of creation. Your belief that you are defined by the lines you have drawn in the field of consciousness or the pebbles that you've dropped into the still clear pool of your mind, that is only you, it creates a constriction, a density, and a conflict. This is occurring nowhere in your being except in the part of you that has extended itself like a sunbeam from the sun into what you will call your space-time dimension. Now, think about this. If you feel constrained in this dimension, it does not mean that you are constrained. It simply means that one tiny ray of your light is temporarily having a certain kind of experience. If you trace that ray of light back to its source, capital S source, you find something brighter than 10,000 of your suns, something far more vast than the sun that lights your physical universe, something so vast that out of it has come forth a multitude of universes. Words on the page, words spoken out loud, are not the thing. They're pointing in the direction. How could the truth of my consciousness be that which has given birth to a multitude of universes? How could it be that my creating an experience of being stuck, limited, powerless, helpless, victimized, how could it be that that's a complete illusion? It seems very, very real to me. The limitations of this physical body seem very, very real to me. How could it be that that is just one tiny sliver of one percentage point of this infinite expanse of consciousness that is my true nature? How could that be? I don't get it. Well, no one can tell you about that. No one can bring you to that experience. You have to make the commitment to use time differently, to be willing to live in the question and asking to be shown over and over again, day in and day out, moment to moment. And as you do that, you can get ushered into an entirely different experience of yourself and your life. But no one else can create that for you. The text goes on and says, at the top of page 160, that light of your soul, pure spirit, remains undefiled and unlimited. That tiny ray of your consciousness, it can become aware of the whole. And as you do that, that is the process of awakening. It doesn't really change anything at all since you begin to become identified not with the tiny ray that is having a temporary experience, but you identify more with that field out of which the very power to experience the time-space dimension is coming forth. Oh, it's like the shift in perspective people have when somebody offers them a different way to look at their situation. Oh, wait a minute. This company isn't abusing me or ripping me off by keeping me in this position for 9 years. I thought, you know, they're betraying me because they won't promote me to a different department or they won't let me use my natural abilities in a different way, even though I've been telling them that's what I want to do and they've been promising to do it. But now here we are 9 years into it and they still haven't done it. Well, what if there's another way to look at that? What if I look at that as, well, they gave me this opportunity. They paid me a decent wage. They gave me the opportunity to travel, build my skills, make myself more marketable. And now I have a nine-year history, a work history and education, training in different products I never had before. I'm more marketable. I've got this education. No one can take that away from me. This is a blessing. And if they don't want me to go to work for them in a sales department and I really want to be in sales, then I just shop myself to somebody else and I use all of this experience and these good relationships I've made, and all of a sudden I'm turning it into a positive. Nothing's changed. It's the same as it always was. But I create my experience of it by the filter I use, by the interpretation I place on it. The text goes on and says, imagine shifting your identity so that you are the ocean from which a multitude of waves are coming forth and constantly coming forth, each one slightly different, each one a little larger, smaller, a little faster, each one with a little more foam on it than the other. These are the very temporary dancing waves being emitted from a field or an ocean of water that knows neither beginning nor end and whose far shores cannot be discovered. Imagine having the experience that that's your true nature. If you're like most of us, we can't even imagine it. And yet as we start playing with these ideas and we start learning to shift the focus of our awareness and we learn to value different thoughts and release the values we've placed on limiting thoughts, it can begin to happen for us. The text goes on and says, that ocean, that infinite ocean, that is your true self. Not the tiny wave that has a name and a history of being born in a certain time and living in a certain house or city. It's certainly never what you call yourself as a banker or a teacher or a mother or a father. None of these things are what you are. The way of transformation is much simpler than you think. But again, it rests on your decision to use time to be completely committed to awakening from the narrow constraints that you have placed on your vast field of consciousness. Why would you place constraints on your vast field of consciousness? For no other reason than that it might be rather entertaining to allow this tiny little ray to continue in time and space for a while being aware of the totality of yourself and actually operating from that totality. Can you imagine living like that? Can you imagine your body, mind driving its little automobile down the road? But every time you pull up to your red light and you notice someone next to you, instead of perceiving them as another body, small, limited, helpless, still see the automobile, and you'll still see the body, but what you're feeling, what you're knowing, and what you are seeing is that this is an infinite field of consciousness, just like you are. And that their mind field touches your mind throughout all dimensions. And you'll see that you are Christ, and you can transmit wisdom and love to them. This is the second or third time in this lesson where it's recommended the answer to every question is beaming love to people. The wisdom that's coming from that creative energy and the creative energy itself is the answer to every question. The text goes on and says, you can learn to direct energies. You might see it as a certain color. You can touch their field, their auric field. You can send healing to the organs of the body that you can see are perhaps a little out of whack. You can be the embodiment in space and time of that higher S vast infinite self that is so vast, so grand, so filled with extraordinary power that all you can do is smile. Perhaps unseen and unrecognized by those who themselves have become unwittingly identified with a little tiny drop of foam, which is a part of the wave, which is part of the ocean of their own infinite self. But what they choose does not influence your choice. You are infinitely free to choose the focus of your conscious awareness in each new present moment. And it is the focus of your conscious awareness in each new present moment which creates your experience of life in that moment, nothing else. The text says, listen very carefully. What another person chooses does not influence your choice at all, even when it seems like it. It is not even accurate to say, quote, oh, well, I fell under the influence of so-and-so and so-and-so. I went a little unconscious there. That's why that happened. I gave up myself. Close quotes. This book wants you to wake up and understand that's never happened. No, no, no. In every moment of your experience, what you experience is coming from within you. It is not placed in you from a source outside of yourself. In every moment, you remain free to observe and notice whether you're having a good time being where you are. That is, being in your perception of life and recognizing that you have the power to think differently. For example, oh, that's right, I'm not in a traffic jam. There is no such thing as a traffic jam. Everything is perfect. There is just a giant weaving together of experiences of infinite souls. So while I sit here in this little car with this funny little body, I'm going to be Christ. I'm going to tap in to what's going on around the edges of my awareness. I will feel the thoughts of anyone that I choose to direct attention to. And from the depth of my being, I will direct love to them. I can choose to be in the truth of who I am. The red light, the automobiles, all jangled together, these things do not create my experience. My experience is flowing from within. It is being extended outward. This is the truth of how we create our experience of life. And if you are willing to observe, I've mentioned this before, there's a book titled Messages of Life from Death Row. And it's the story of a man, Roger McGowan, who was on death row in Texas for 20-some years for something he didn't do. And rather than choose to be bitter and resentful and hateful for the people that locked him up and the guards that were actively abusive to him, he chose love and loving responses. He chose to have the experience of learning more and more about spiritual teachings and being a teacher, being the expression of love, understanding that each and every one of us creates our experience of life, and we do so with where we're choosing the focus of our awareness. That everything in life is a learning experience. I think he's written more than one book. Pierre Pradivan wrote this book based on the letters and writing experiences back and forth that he did with Roger McGowan. Well, if somebody can do that in one of the most abusive places on this continent, when they're being actively abused, then most everybody who's listening to the Mind Shifters Radio right now can do the same. It is up to us to become aware of what we're choosing. And if we don't like it, to choose differently. What is it that you have done? What is it that you can choose to do differently? How can you choose to spend time differently that might benefit you? Because if you're not willing to make a change, you can't experience your life differently. You'll just continue to get more of what you've always had. Guy Finley talks about this a lot in several of his stories. He talks about how there's always a different story, and he talks about how we can realize that this is not a good place for me to be. This isn't going to work out very well for me. And the place to be, the place for me to be, works out to be my physical location, but even more importantly, it works out to be my internal focus. If I'm stuck in a negative thought pattern, if I'm stuck generating and then experiencing a negative emotion, I can argue for it. I can buy into my mind's rationalizations that it's caused by people and things outside of me or that I don't have any choice here. But if I argue for it, then I remain hopelessly stuck. If I question it, if I step back and realize, oh, hey, in this bottom line observation business, there's an observation that says, if I have a negative thought active in my mind or about myself or somebody else or a negative emotion, I can instantly know three things. Number one, this is based in a lie or a falsehood. Number two, this is an old tape playing. There's nothing about the present moment that's generating this negative emotion or this negative thought. So it's not about what's going on in the present moment. I have now, in this moment, when I've gotten negative, I've pulled myself out of the flow of life. And I'm living from the past. I'm projecting the past onto the present. I'm trying to compare things. I'm being judgmental, which is a poison in my life. It's the opposite of love. It's the opposite of forgiveness. And it's the opposite of where I say I want to be. And the third thing I can know instantaneously is that if I take an action based on this or I let myself spin in these thoughts, it's just going to make my situation worse. My life can't possibly get any better in any way from me negative energy into my life, whether it's in thought, in word, in action, in emotion. So I need to understand that wherever I am, I'm creating that experience of being there. And if I don't like the experience I'm having, I can spin the wheel of my interpretation, of my assumption about cause and effect relationships. I can choose a different interpretation. And if I do, I'll get a different experience. And it can be instantaneous. It depends upon what I'm committed to. That's why this book said in this lesson, it's absolutely essential that you make a commitment to use time differently and to live your life differently, because you're the only one that can do that. If you keep doing the same thing over and over again, you're going to end up with more of the kinds of things that you've already had. So we've got about 8 or 9 minutes for comments, questions, answers, testimonials. 563-999-3581. How is this second reading of the Way of Transformation landing for you? What's it stirring up for you? How does it make sense for you that in each new present moment, you have the infinite capacity to choose the focus of your conscious awareness, and it's actually the focus of your conscious awareness in each moment that creates your experience of life and nothing else? Does that make sense to you? And if so, how have you seen it apply in your life? Where have you used it recently to usher yourself into a different experience? I had somebody in my office yesterday who was, again, looking at the data points in his life and coming to a very negative conclusion. And just a slight shift in perspective, he was able to start chuckling about a situation that minutes before he was in rage about. What if the conclusions I'm reaching and the interpretations I've created are the only thing that it create my experience of life? Will I choose to be committed to changing my interpretations, to changing the things I value? How do you change the things you value? Well, to begin with, I would bring us back to our operational definition for what I value. How can I tell what I value? I can tell what I value by looking at where I spend my time. Because it doesn't matter how many times I say I value X, Y, or Z, if I'm spending 2 minutes a year on X, Y, or Z, I don't really value it. And I may not say that I value reading graphic novels or comic books, but if I spend 3 to 4 hours a day, at the end of every day, reading those graphic novels or comic books, that's really what I value. So, as we talked about before, I do what I value. What I value is not what I talk about. What I value is what I spend my mind energy and my time interacting with. So this book says, listen, if you want to change your experience of life, you have to make a commitment to use time differently, to use your mind energy differently, to create an experience of life based on a different pattern of thoughts and a different pattern of behaviors. And if one is not willing to do that, one will continue to have nearly identical, but certainly within the pattern, very, very similar patterns of behavior and actions and interactions, regardless of how unsatisfying they may say they are, they continue to create them over and over and over again. So, will you be committed to using time differently? Area code 760, you're in the air. Is this Ann?
Yes, yes. So I think I just had an experience just a little while ago. I went to an eye appointment. And that what you're talking about. Because I was asking a question because they charge extra for refraction, and it had gone up $10, $60. And I was able to, the last couple of years, not have to use a prescription and use glasses. And it's been that way for actually several years. Anyway, so because they now have a sign where it's more, and that, you know, it says, okay, you're going to be charged that. So when I met with the first lady that starts, you know, the process of certain tests, you know, with the machines for the eyes, and then I was asking her, and as I'm asking these questions, I'm not getting an answer that I thought I should get, so I could feel myself inside starting to get a little upset. And I go, okay, what am I sounding like that she's talking the way she is? Is it me? So I changed the way I asked the questions, and then I, you know, made another couple of comments, and she changed. Well, I don't know if she's changing or it's me, I guess, that was changing. Anyway, I left that room and those tests fine because she said, hey, the doctor, and she said it a couple of times. Okay, all right, I'm okay with that now. I'm okay. So I go in the waiting room, and you go to the next test and the next girl, and got through that. I'm not, you know, bothered by anything anymore. And then I go into the doctor himself, and I asked the thing about not getting a prescription because the one eye is a little bit worse. And he said, oh, I don't deal with that. And I said, oh, well, the girl, you know, in the other room said that I was to ask you. So I started to feel, I go, wait, no, Anne, these are just words. If he doesn't know, he doesn't know. The girl that comes in with him and does the transcribing on, you know, in the computer, she spoke up. And she added a few more words to help me understand that, oh, I can deny, you know, having it, even though it's a little worse. It's okay, well, we'll give you another year. But with her help, and so I thanked her when I left because I said, you know, you added some words to, you know, help my understanding about that I can say no. And so, but I guess I want to say, because I've been listening to this and it kind of came to where I didn't have to think about it, I just need to be aware of how am I coming across, and it just changed things. So I wasn't upset. I mean, I'm not excited about this because one eye is getting worse, and cataract, you know, is growing, but it's like I'm okay. And so when you were talking, and I only got to listen to half of you, but half the session here, but I go, okay, that felt good. And I didn't have to leave there upset. So I don't know if that was a good example or not.
Yeah, it's just a shift in your focus. It's a change in interpretation. It's releasing the thought pattern that's generating my negativity and recognizing, oh, I don't have to hold on to that thought pattern. I can let it go.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
good
yeah.
example. Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
You've taken us down to the mm-hmm. last minute or so. I'll mute you so you can listen to the second hour. I will remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. And I will turn on the microphone for and welcome Jeannie Rice.
Thank you. Appreciate you, Dr. Tim.
You're very welcome.
All
and
right.
Have a wonderful show.
So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. And today is Tuesday, June the 21st, 2022. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you in the queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. And I'll just share, Michael's going to be a little bit before he gets on. First of all, we had a glitch. Usually I have issues with Apple getting the app approved, and this time it's been Google, and I just found out that they didn't like it, that we had things on their website that we had for sale, and I don't know if they want part of it or what, but anyway, I had to make a few changes on the website, and we're going to resubmit the app again and see if we can get it approved. So the previous version is working, so it'll just take a couple more days probably to get that past their Google eyes and get it approved. So we're working on that. I'm working on getting the shopping cart in a nicer format. So hopefully that'll take effect soon. And several things, a session with a young lady about an hour ago, half hour ago. And so I'll just fill up a little bit of time by sharing, you know, she had a goal. She was overwhelmed with school and this particular class. And when we narrowed it down, it was like a panic and stress. And when it was like, okay, dig a little deeper, what's under that? And she found, well, I might not do well. And she lacked self-confidence. And I said, dig a little deeper beyond that. And she says, I'm not going to be able to do the work. And I was like, dig a little deeper. And we just kept going, kept drilling down. And what we finally got to was that she was concerned about what others, her friends, her parents, whoever, was going to think about her. And so, you know, a lot of times when we're working on something that seems surface, if you just keep asking yourself, okay, what's under that? Well, what's under that? And I really like the abbreviated form because of the when you get to the goal, you know, what she said her goal was for it to be, for the class to be easy. But when we, you know, dug on down past some of the other things that she had gotten to, it was because she wanted her friends judge her that she didn't do good in that class. So it really wasn't the class. It was what others were going to think about her. And that goes all the way back to, you know, when we're a child and usually around the age of 3 or 4 and we give, you know, just being who we are because we think that we need to perform to be approved of by someone else. And it was identical to what she was describing now that she's in college. But if you really dug down and looked at it, it went all the way back to her original giving up of herself. And so, you know, it's the worksheet's really powerful, and if we put it to work in our life and, you know, just don't do surface, though. A lot of people just want to flip through it and not really dig down and see what's really going on underneath. And until we get that handled, you know, it's going to just keep showing up. Like I told her, you know, I said, we usually say, well, I didn't feel this until you were around or till you came around or whatever. And I'll just get rid of you and then put this right back down where I don't have to look at it again. And that doesn't work because life is going to continue to give us whatever it is that we need to heal whatever's going on. And somebody keeps texting me here. My apologies. Got sidetracked there. You know, we think we can multitask, but we don't really do it too good. So anyway, putting the tools to work and really digging down and looking at what's going on. And, you know, one of the other things that we talked about was what do we use to cover it up? And she found, you know, that she just really had so many goals, that one goal right under the other, like dominoes, and she would get into overwhelm and then panic and then procrastinate because by the time she finally started to get a hang of it, they were piled on top of her and she just couldn't get on top of it. And so it's just being able to look at, take step apart and look at one piece of it at a time instead of looking at the whole big picture of overwhelm. Well, that can be a lot of things. And then break it down into little bitty pieces and you get it down to caring about what another person thinks of you and how that can just balloon. So if there's something in your life that we can help you with, press one. Ask your question. And, you know, that's what this show is here for, to answer your questions or to for you to ask us the right question. You know, you may have come up with something that we haven't even thought of yet. And the question is what's important to get us in that direction. So the phone number is 563-999-3581 and press 1 and that puts you into queue. And I'm not good at monologues, so it would definitely help me out if you press 1 until Michael gets on the show.
I just heard
him breathe. He must be on the show. Yep, doing your Darth Vader again.
Darth is here.
All right.
I wish this microphone were not so sensitive to breath.
Well, just bouncing off of what you were saying about working with someone in that, you know, ultimately the power person dynamic, we just look at the goings on in the society and the back and forth in the financial realm, the whole blame game about gas prices. You know, we got a war going on in the world with one of the largest gas producing countries in the world being shut down, and you know, the blame game, how everybody's, you know, there's a quote, I'm not sure I can get it exactly, but this is pretty close, from Carl Jung, and he says that everybody has to have a myth to live by, and that the religions gave us the myth that kept us in a common bond so that we could coexist together. And one of the things that we're seeing in the last few decades here in America is the breaking down of religion to a great degree. So many people are turning their religions into fear and hate and anger, and so many people have left religions. And according to Carl Jung, you can't live without a myth. There has to be an underlying dynamic that your mind sees in the world and in your life. And you know, it really ties back to what we were talking about last week with the word tuvehun from the Beatitudes, that there's this underlying neural structure that the Creator put inside of us, and it would tie into this idea of a myth by which we run our lives. And now that there's so much breakdown in so many arenas where we had something that tied us together, and you know, whether it's a nation or a group of people of any kind, that with the breakdown, people are making up their own myth. And the easiest myth to make up is, you're wrong, I'm right, it's settled, why argue? It's all your fault. And that's a myth that, literally millions of people are living by. And it doesn't matter what happens, whether it's gas prices or what, that's one of the very common ones today. You know, it's really traceable that, you know, what's going on with gas prices and why, and yet somebody's, you know, millions of people are blaming an individual without getting into the political ramifications of it, but it's just that myth that people are bought into and are living under. It's somebody else's fault, and of course, whose fault is it? It's the other guy. And when we live in that other guy myth, the mind has to fulfill its prophecy. The mind has to fulfill the blame game, and people never arrive at the place that Jeannie was talking about where they're willing to look inside and deal with the underlying dynamic that's driving their own minds. They never reach, unless they've got forgiveness. And you know, I mean, forgiveness was disappeared as far as I can tell. You know, you go back as far as Paul, and forgiveness was gone. Paul didn't have a clue how forgiveness worked. And he says, why is it the things I would do, I cannot do, and the things I hate are what I do? He didn't have a clue what drove his own mind. He didn't have a clue what underpinned his perception. And so he had no control over what he did with his behavior. And here we are, living in this game with so many people, living in this somebody else is to blame for what's going on in my life. And it's time to wake up from the power person dynamic that underlies the myth that most people live by, that somebody else is the problem in my life, and move to the point where that output from the mind can be collapsed and give us access to the ability to heal what underlies, what keeps people in such rage and hatred and vengeance, and you know, the violence that's going on. And you know, how many people think it's their right to run somebody else's life? You know, to go into somebody else's bedroom or somebody else's, you know, feeding trough or whatever it is, and it's their job to run somebody else's lives. And the strain and stress of that is just outrageous. And yet, you know, you look at what's happening even in state legislatures where they're legislating behavior of other people other than themselves while they ignore their own rage and pain and hatred. It's all just such a profound and powerful wake-up call. And so, of course, the worksheet we're working with is called the wake-up sheet. And there's a reason for that, because we can wake up from unconscious dynamics if we engage in the process of forgiveness. And that's what we're here to offer. That's what we're here to teach. That's what we're here to learn. And so we'll keep passing that along and offering support. And Anae had contacted me this morning and said that she had a profound breakthrough on a worksheet that she'd like to share. And she doesn't have a phone service that allows her to call in. So, Jeannie, if you could take over for a second, I'm going to dial her and bring her in on the call, and we'll see what she's got to share.
All right. So, while we're waiting on Monet, she's in the chat room, so hopefully he can reach her and tell her that Michael's calling her.
Sure. Hey there, young lady.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, welcome. How are things in Florida?
Well, very wet. A lot of rain.
Oh, are you getting lots of rain there?
Yes.
We could use some here. Send some up here to Virginia. Our garden could use a good soaking.
Yes. Last night, all of a sudden, you know, the thunders, and the lightning, it was like a concert. It's amazing how nature, how can that happen? No, how can that be? And then the rain, very, very, very heavy. For maybe 30 minutes, and then that was it. But enough for months.
Well, we could use that about every other day or every 3 days here to keep the garden watered, and that would be nice. So what's happening in your world? You wanted to share something about a worksheet that you did?
Yes, definitely, yes. Last night, I had the Shabbat meditation, very powerful. Five ladies were in the group. And the theme was like opening your heart, opening your being to receive and create a joyful life and prosperity and purpose and enjoy life more.
Perhaps you could share with everyone what, for those who don't have the brain cells, for what Shabbat meditation is, what you're doing with that?
Yes. The Shabbat meditation is a meditation that includes the Shabbat, the Aramaic forgiveness process of identifying the goal, canceling the goal, asking Ruach HaDakusha, your internal feminine power, to undo the errors, to heal, using the breath, you know, as you do all that, and then creating a new goal. So besides the meditation, the benefits of calming your mind, and having that awareness of being present, there's also an experiential process as you connect to love, identify your goal, cancel it, and then you ask for that power to assist you. So very nice. Some of the ladies, four of the ladies have been doing Shabbat meditation, and we've done the Shabbat workout, the wake-up sheet.
Right. So let's just share with everybody that word Shabbat means to cancel. In Aramaic, it's a word that's been translated as forgiveness. So basically, you're talking about a forgiveness meditation that you've been doing with a group of women.
Exactly. So
men not allowed?
Oh, no. Well, most women come. Of course, men are allowed. But likes the title. Everybody likes the title. A tribe.
Perfect.
So for marketing purposes, to attract people. So so these ladies have, we've done worksheets together, and they come to different meditations. I've been doing the Shabbat meditations over a year now.
Right.
So what I'm meaning to say is that people have some experience. The people who came into the meditation yesterday, except for one, they've done some work before.
Right.
Okay, so beautiful, and everybody was very aware of their process. People were almost fainted. You know, they felt this dizziness. Others said, oh, my legs were shaking. Others were really sleepy. And everybody had a very good dose of their own work. Because we all work together, but you do your, you know, it's your own work.
Perfect.
Your own. Okay, beautiful. Woke up this morning. I also, this morning, I'm very, sensitive or sensible. When
you're in a sensitive place? Tender?
Yeah, tender. Kind of wanted to cry.
Delicate. Yeah,
delicate.
I hear you.
I said, okay, but really tired, very thirsty. Very thirsty. Well, you know, I wake up and also I drink water, but today was more. I said, water and lime. Okay, I said, no, time for me to do my worksheet. And so I'm doing my worksheet about we've been away, not only physically, quote unquote, from Venezuela. I'm here, Lucia is there, and my brother is there, I have a home there, but also doing a worksheet about in truth, my talents, the things I want to do, and all that. So I'm doing my worksheet, and I cancel my goal to live in joy and close to my, to the people I love. That's my
right.
family. That's my goal. Canceling, and I'm starting to feeling all this warmth in the inside of me, and my mouth, my right shoulder going numb, and all of a sudden, like, oh, but immediately, boom, my thought was, of course, I learned from my mother's special that life, in order for you to be accepted by God, or being spiritual being, you have to suffer. Your life has to be.
Oh, that's a big
tears.
One.
Wow, tears and tongues. You know, like the roses have tongues. Like
right.
the cross. You know, it has to be painful.
Yeah.
And bloody and all that. And I remember, it came to my like that, and I said, of course. And then immediately I said to myself, well, I canceled my goal to create another story with the same brain cells to prove that I'm right.
Yay.
Michael, I was immediate. As I was saying those words, I felt a relief. My body went like that. I started breathing more normal. This is an internal joy. I really said, well, I can create something different. But you know how many times I've done this thing? I don't know how many worksheets. I've done it and for the first time in hundreds of worksheets, I've had a, how do I feel? 6.8, no? In the worksheet, relieved. Clear mind. It was an instant shift.
Michael, you're talking through the wall, but not in the phone.
Excuse me, I had hit my mute button, but it sounds like you hit a new level of vitality with this worksheet around this issue. You know, and the need for fluid, you know, having such a thirst, your body's opening up and it's clearing out. You'll probably see some enhanced elimination, maybe some phlegm release, because oftentimes, you know, phlegm is when it becomes dehydrated in the body, that's where energy is held to keep it out of the cell. And when it's ready to rehydrate, you know, it expands, and you're going to be probably letting some of that go, but that's awesome.
Really a moment of awareness, of clarity, and I still have this breath of fresh air, joy. little distracted, but I said, I'm going to write about the symptoms of healing. And I went into the website, and it's beautiful done, as usual. Jeannie is very artistic with everything she polishes and writes. So, but I wanted to share that, and of course, part of it is the group. Being in a group, how we support each other's energy to process.
That's awesome. Now, I don't know, is this an open group that you're doing at a regular time each week that you've been doing?
Well, I'm doing it now on Mondays because it was Thursdays and a lot of people were already very busy. Yes, I want to do Mondays at 9 p.m. Miami time, Easter daytime, standard Easter daytime.
I don't think we've got that on our website for people who are doing support groups, but it sounds like it's something we should put on the website so that anybody who might want to join you for that, that's a different take, you know, doing a meditation like that on the forgiveness process. I think that'd be awesome to have that available to folks who want a resource. And so if you want to send us the information on the, you know,
yes,
link, is it a Zoom thing you're doing? Or?
Exactly. Yes. I was going to say it's for Zoom. So I will forward that. For Zoom.
Yeah. Email all that to Jeannie and we'll put it
I
on the website.
That.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
And also, so I'm going to translate the symptoms of healing, the crisis, healing crisis.
Right.
I'm going to translate it. And when I have it ready, I'm going to also send it to Jeannie so you can have that in Spanish as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we'll make sure to put it on the Spanish page and let people know that are speaking Spanish. I've actually been looking at language learning programs with Aria Rain Growing. She's showing interest. You know, her mother is part Filipino, so her parents speak Tagalog, and they're teaching Ari that. And yesterday she was doing some Spanish stuff, so we've been looking at programs and I'd like to learn more Spanish. So that's awesome. That's fabulous. Nice piece of work.
Thank you. I'm so grateful. And also, last Sunday, I listened to your, on YouTube, to the worksheet that you have there, the group. Very interesting. And
the new Why workshop?
The new Why workshop.
From last Saturday. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yes. Awesome. So I get in my mind, you know, the thoughts, the molecule, why you have to do a worksheet for each emotion, for each feeling.
Right.
That I knew, but then listening it again, and I said, oh, yes, of course.
Got done new level. That's awesome. Cool.
Fantastic. Yes. You'll see me in one of those again. You will see me soon. I want to be part of the,
sweet.
Of the next
sweet.
One you do. I will coordinate. So I can put it in priorities.
Fabulous. And when you want something like that, you know, if any questions come up for refinements anywhere throughout the whole workshop or anything that you watch, keep a notebook and then, you know, call in and ask it on the show or put it in the app and we'll make it part of the conversation. You know, the amount of work that you've done and the fact that you also are capable of thinking forgiveness in the Spanish language rather than English would empower you to ask questions that might take things in a different direction than we might normally go and therefore open up a whole new aspect of the process. So please, any questions that develop, you know, we would love to hear them.
Very good. So, and I thought it was interesting as well that this worksheet is the 4,801.
All right.
I said, well, and one. So it's like a new level because the joy that I feel, the joy that it's, you know how it is. It is, you don't have words to express the contentment.
I hear you.
The love of serenity, truly.
You know, for so many years, I taught this process and had no understanding because coming out of the Aramaic, there was no explanation. There was no, you know, it was about canceling a goal, but there was no background, no explanation as to what was going on, what was happening. And now that I understand that each time you cancel a goal, you know, that perceptual construct, which is made of such a tiny, you know, tip of the iceberg type piece of information, the iceberg that when you cancel a goal and that perception collapses in on itself and what it gives you access to underneath in the hidden part of the mind. I mean, it's just so monumental to be able to explain that to people now. And for, you know, 30 plus years, 35 years, I taught the canceling of goals without being able to explain that piece of it. And now that I understand that, and when I watch people, oftentimes they'll drop into something very specific, as you were talking about, or it'll just be an energetic dynamic that happens, that when they drop into that unconscious part of their minds and love is active and present in them, it's like going in with a superpower vacuum cleaner and just cleaning stuff out of the unconscious. And the shifts and the changes, it's always just, you know, to me, it creates such gratitude in me to understand that and to be able to support people in that and to be able to explain people, to inspire and get folks to move into deeper and deeper spaces. So that's awesome that you're doing that. Nice piece of work.
Hi, thank you. Thank you. I'm very grateful. Now 11 years and yes, it's expansive. The more I do, the more I learn, the more I listen, and it's greater and greater. And I'm happy that more people are a little more consistent. It took me a year and a half, but I see people that did it and then are back. You know who it is.
Hanging with it.
Yeah, but I'm happy that I have this commitment.
I hear you. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. It's just someone was acknowledging me yesterday on Facebook for the wisdom I bring to the posts that I do, and it was like my response was so instantaneous and so clear of, I wish this were my wisdom. I just happen to be blessed to luck into this Aramaic understanding and to be blessed to build the brain cells to be able to gather some of the wisdom that Yeshua brought 2,000 years ago and pass it on. And I'm really clear that it's his wisdom, not mine, but I sure do feel blessed at the opportunity to extend it and share it and make it available to people.
Exactly. Oh, thank you so much.
Sweet. Thank you for sharing it. Any other thoughts for you?
No, right now, yeah, I was also to think of my mom in a more joyful, with more joyful energy. As telling her, you know, I understand you, but mom, there's another way, and to embrace her in that new, you know, way of loving and a new thoughts, like a new generational thought.
Is this something that's, I mean, just come to you since this particular worksheet, or something that's been developing in general?
No, this one. As I said, it was all of a sudden everything connected, everything was understood, and I understood my mom, and then my thoughts for her were, okay, mom, you know what? Could be different. I embrace in this new knowledge and this life that it is possible to live. And I thought of my daughter also. You can create different. Yes, it's as if I opened a new door.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like what you dropped into with this particular worksheet then, whether it's conscious or unconscious, and that's the beauty of it. You don't have to believe it or think it works or imagine it works or anything else. If you just do the process, the bringing forward of the presence of love and then collapsing the construct of the mind that's based in the pain or the trauma, whatever the worksheet is about, and going in and mopping up. It sounds like your mop-up program with this particular worksheet related to some perhaps inhibiting energies around mom, and it's just loosened that up. So that's awesome. What a nice gift to give her and to give yourself and your daughter as well, because it'll open a new space with her, I suspect.
Okay, yes.
Sweet. Well, I've got a big smile on my face for it all. Thanks for sharing it. That's awesome.
Yes, yeah. So I'm so blessed that today I was off, and I said, this is, it's like everything is perfect. Everything is perfect.
Cool.
So I went outside and I said, well, I'll go to the beach and I'll walk, and then said, I crossed the bridge and boom, started raining all of a sudden.
Now, are you trying to get it set up so that we have to do worksheets on jealousy because you get to just walk over to the beach? Well, here
yes.
we are, landlocked in the middle of the country.
Yes.
Okay, I'll do a worksheet on envy.
Okay.
Beach envy.
Okay, lots of love. Thank you
okay,
so much.
Okay, sweet.
Nice gratitude.
Work. All right, thanks for sharing. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Well, I think when Michael hung up from talking to Nene, he also hung up from the radio show, so he'll have to dial back in. So great conversation. Thank you, Nene. We appreciate you. And Susan, 610, you are on the air. How are you doing?
I'm doing my best.
Yeah. Well, Michael's back on now, so tell us what we can do.
Well, I just had
hey there,
a
young lady. What's
question.
Happening?
Hi, Michael. Well, you know, Jacob is texting me. Sorry. Just a practical suggestion. I feel as if Tim and I kind of caved yesterday by sending him money when he was treating us so poorly. You saw the language he uses.
Yes, pretty heavy-duty language.
So, and my daughter's upset with us because she has told him that while he is being disrespectful, she is not going to cover any costs for food or drugs or anything for him. And so he has blocked her. And it's okay. He can block her because he has us. And now we're the
right.
only thing left. And I am afraid to do what she wants us to do, which is to say no to everything, too, and let him do what he's going to do. And you said, can you be at peace with if he dies? Well, I guess I'm not, because I feel as if I'm buying time, believing that perhaps he'll get his head on straight. But the more I read about this and the more I think about the fact that he's turning out to be just like his father, who is still just as belligerent as ever, I think that he's probably not going to. I mean, he just didn't want to touch the worksheets. He did download the app. I said, it's kind of fun to use the app. but I don't think he's going to use it. He just said they're stupid and they're this and that's not the issue and it won't help in all this business. And so I backed off from that. But I guess...
Well, remember that with the app...
Yeah,
the thought I want to offer is with the app, he's dealing with a much more complex process than that single, you know, that first worksheet that Julie created. And
oh, I agree.
In order to,
I agree.
I mean, it gives
yeah.
him a lot of points for argumentation, which it sounds like he
mm-hmm.
likes to do, and places to unleash his hostility, where my thought would be starting with the simpler worksheet, there aren't so many places for him to argue and fight and struggle. It's just kind of straightforward. You know, there are a few minor steps here, but the process still works, even with that
mm-hmm.
simplest worksheet.
Yeah. Well, we're just awfully far away from being able to approach that. I agree with you.
Yeah.
In fact, I looked at the, because I use the online app once in a while myself, and I know carbon-based memory, and I know all those other things, but that was one thought, is what if you had a third, this is poor Jeannie, this is more work for her, a third option of the very simplified worksheet. I know you have the drag on Klingon, and that might be what you're doing. That might be the place to go, but for adults or even somebody like Jacob who could do a very simple one online with the same PDF and questions offered. It's so great. It's really tap this and you get a definition, tap this and you can ask a question. It's amazing. And that and the, I'm going off on a tangent, but I just wanted to say, Jeannie, your website's amazing too, just endless resources. And shows a lot of incredible understanding and tech brain power there. So, yeah. But, you know, I've been very depressed. I've been on edge and restless and not concentrating very well. So what you said is nothing outside of me can cause my upset. Well, it's there, and I'm letting it cause my upset. But...
Well, my offering would be, no, you can't let it cause your upset. It's going to show you your – if there's upset in there, somebody's going to show up.
Yeah.
And quite often that somebody's going to be somebody who's genetically linked because they're the only one who can dig into the next depth of what needs to be healed. And so I'd suggest this might be the time to renew your 40-day commitment for another 5 a day and work on this level that he's bringing up for you. You know,
well,
kind of being a snotty brat, and the snotty brat issue is perhaps your next level of work to do. You know, we can't, you know, one of the things I've recognized for years is the next piece of work I need to do, there's always somebody in my audience that's going to bring that issue forward for me.
Yeah.
And so here's a snotty brat that is showing Orb what she needs to deal with next. And how about a mind shifter?
Okay. I'm
as
pacing,
I
so I will stop pacing and write.
Okay.
Okay, as I.
Mm-hmm. As I, with care and concern, reach out to Jacob. I realize that I deserve to be treated lovingly, gently, and with respect.
And, that's
and the truth is,
Mr. Michael, because I agree with it.
Well, no, you don't. No, I don't. I think you're kidding yourself. I don't think you're telling yourself the truth. You're allowing and rewarding a young man for telling you to F you. That doesn't reflect to me someone who believes that they deserve to be treated lovingly, gently, and with respect.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, and there may be stuff to that because I have found myself going back to, you know, feeling as if I'm getting hit when he's talking to me that way.
You
but,
did get kicked. That's being kicked. And you don't deserve that.
Yeah. So, but on the practical level, are you saying that no more money, I could say no, just a clean, clear no to him about giving him any more money at all and brace myself for a tirade or 20 and let it just bounce off because it's not about me and it's not really, it's just him doing his thing, which I do understand. I'm just afraid he's going to go off and jump off a bridge.
I hear you. I hear you. That's definitely one of the concerns. And that kind of behavior is exactly his power person behavior, which he's now reflecting to you, and you're approving of it. You're accepting it. And I hear your concern for it. You know, that was part of our discussion yesterday. I've watched that. I remember, you know, one couple that I worked with, and they had a son that was, you know, kind of in the same boat, and there was a particular behavior he was doing that they just, you know, were just crazy over. And I said, well, you can hold them accountable for that and be aware that of what it might lead to. And unfortunately, in that case, over a period of time, it did lead to that result. And they had done some work around that eventuality and that possibility of suicide, which is what he did. And that's a tough, tough place to be. And, you know, you've done some anonymous work, so you're familiar with the whole idea of enabling. But when you carry on the conversation like nothing's been said, after he uses that kind of language with his grandmother and his supporter, that is enabling behavior.
Yeah. Tim is not on the same page as I am.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks we should just keep sending him money and pay no attention to the rudeness because he's just upset. That's what kids do when they're upset. So even Tim and I are not in agreement.
I'm not thinking in terms of sending money or not sending money, but holding him accountable for that kind of language towards you, I think, is a reasonable thing to do.
Oh, I agree with that. But the bottom line is he doesn't get nice until he gets his money.
Yeah. So you have to buy it.
I have to buy it, and I bought a little time, but it doesn't stop. Like today, I've gotten two texts already, and one of them asked for us to cover a doctor's appointment, $30. I sent it right away, scribed Xanax for him, which is an old-fashioned, we're all familiar with that.
Yeah.
I feel as if I have no more fight in me. I'm
tough.
Just flat.
It's a tough place to be. I hear you. I hear you loud and clear. And that's why I'm suggesting you do the next level of your work around this as well. And, you know, and follow your highest guidance, you know. And I certainly hear your concern for him and his life. He's threatened his mother that he'll commit suicide. And, you know, that'd be one hellish load to have on your mind if you somehow believed that it was because of you. Which my offering would be, it could not possibly be. But I hear you loud and clear. It's a tough place to be. It's a place no grandmother should ever have to be in. But that's the family dynamic right now. So next level, how can I stand as a space of active present love and communicate in a way that opens a space for healing?
Hmm. Yep.
So how about another mind shifter?
Okay. Let me go back to my pencil. All right, ready?
It's safe and healing.
Mm-hmm.
And I joyfully hold Luke accountable.
Jacob.
For the language he uses with me.
Okay.
Now, I don't know what
it's
accountability
Jacob
might look like. It might just, or pardon me, with Jacob. All right. No, I don't know what accountability might look like. It might just be a conversation. It might just be, you know, what's going on that you would even think about using that kind of language with me?
Oh, I've had that with him, but Michael, I've been good. You would be proud. I am calm, and I say, Jacob, I will not accept that kind of talking to me. You don't speak to people like that, and it hurts you first. I told him the carbon copy thing. He just says, oh, that's bullshit. You know, he's not, I'm not getting through, at least superficially. Maybe it's getting through.
Well, he's unconscious. I mean, you know, the amount of pain, the more he is abusive with you or anybody else, the more pain he experiences. And he's exhibiting that pain. That's why he wants more meds. That's why he uses drugs. That's why he uses alcohol. Because, but he has he has no awareness of the unconscious impact of the abuse that he does and its impact on his own psyche and his own physiology. He just has no, you know, there's a great passage and line in the Course in Miracles that says, "You're one of the problems is you're not afraid of your own fear. You think it's normal.
Oh, wow.
And you have no idea what you're doing to yourself. And, you know, he doesn't believe he's doing it to himself any more than his father believed. You know, his father believed that it was his former, your daughter's problem, and his father believed that it was his problem, and his father believed that it was the other child's problem. And that's the game that people in denial play, you know, that dissociation game. And it's a tough place to be. Definitely a, to break through that one is major. And we're certainly here to be the sounding board and the support for it and holding the space for it. I have great empathy for you and every other parent, sibling, spouse, child of someone who's stuck in alcohol and drugs, because it's a tough place.
Yeah, that leads me to another question. Catherine wants me to go to Al-Anon, and I have found a group that actually meets online. It's a California group, but it's 3 o'clock our time, so this afternoon after the show, I'm going to go on there. But Tim is not on board because he said Jacob isn't like a regular alcoholic. He is mentally ill. He is not well. You said yesterday he was well enough. He was well enough, but I'm not sure that he is to endure the tough love thing without offing himself.
And I'm not suggesting any kind of tough love. I don't believe in the tough love game either. Love is active present love, period. It's not tough. It doesn't abuse. It doesn't do any of that stuff. That's not what I'm suggesting. I am suggesting some level of accountability.
That's what I meant by tough. I certainly don't mean nasty or anything, and Tim doesn't mean it either. But he thinks we have to do what Jacob wants because he is so frightened. We have to just cave. That's what Tim thinks.
Well, that's the game. That's the game of every alcoholic, and every alcoholic is mentally ill. I mean, I'm not suggesting that he's not. Every alcoholic is mentally ill and has a game that they play, and Al-Anon can help to enlighten you to that game. And, you know, it has strategies for working through that game, which also sometimes include closing the door. And, you know, it's, again, from every perspective, it's tough. But, yeah, there's mental illness involved in every alcoholic and every drug addict. And if someone has enough intelligence, like, for instance, just to look at the conversation that you texted me that you had with him, he's fully capable of engaging in responsibility and forgiveness. And I'm not saying he's not mentally ill. He's definitely got it, that going on.
Yeah.
And he's cognitively aware enough to be able to step in and begin to do his work. Like, he's not stupid.
No.
He's bright and he's capable.
So you're saying it's a matter of will, and he hasn't got a clue about that. He does.
Well, you know, there are so many aspects. Developing will, you know, it would be interesting to see what a personal code evaluation would look like for him and what area. I suspect that if he did a personal code evaluation, he would have at least 4 areas in crisis out of the 10. Mm-hmm. The 4 areas I would suspect he would have in crisis would be nutrition, digestion, toxicity, honoring truth, honoring truth,
right.
Honoring self, honoring others, and probably a fifth one would be stress management.
Oh, boy.
Using the language that he uses with you, hostility would probably also fit there. So there are probably at least 5 or 6 areas out of 10 that I suspect on a personal code evaluation would show up in crisis. And
mm-hmm.
he's bright enough and capable to start doing his work. The goal is, the key is, how do you inspire him? How do you communicate with him? How do you open that door? And again, I think that the app is too complicated, would give him too many places to hang his resistance hat, where the simple first of the 7 worksheets that Julie developed, literally for a kindergartner, he's fully capable of doing that and stepping into it.
Well, I'll go get that and I'll send it to him. I'll just send it to him and he can look at it and he may rail at me, but, so anyway, that's good to be reminded.
Maybe it looks like a conversation like, it's time to stop railing and it's time, you want me, let's do a little tit for tat here. You want me to step into cooperation with you. You want me to support what you want. How about, kid, we start to make this a two-way street? Because right now, you function like a selfish little brat. And that's what he's doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And maybe even a stronger word than brat.
You are true.
Yeah. Well, I think you have been monumentally gigantic about holding a space of love and support and communication with him. So I would simply call him bullshit on that one if he started to play that game. It's like, let's stop it now. I'm here talking to you lovingly, gently, and respectfully and working to support you, and you're playing the abuse game. Now, cut the bullshit, kid. There's no abuse coming from me. It's time to stop. It's time to grow up. You are not a baby anymore. So maybe sometimes love, it is able to step into some difficult conversations. And some accountability here isn't going to be an easy conversation the way he so easily falls into abuse. But the truth is, he's smart enough to know how to manipulate around you totally. He's done it with his mother, and his mother's given up. She's gotten to the point, from what I hear, sounds like, where she's just given up and willing for him to go his own way and do whatever he does. Fortunately, he's got Orb, who's there holding a space for him. But I'd start putting my foot down in terms of accepting any form of abuse from him if I were you.
Well, I'll keep doing it.
We'll keep holding the space with you.
Thanks. I've been just saying, Jacob, you're speaking to me disrespectfully. I'm going to get off the phone now. And I'll hang up.
Yep.
That's been the best I can
do. And perhaps with that hang up comes the message that, and until I get a sincere apology and you make a commitment as to what you're going to do in the future in terms of how you're going to treat me, I'm not responding. I'm just not going to. Maybe just briefly explain to him the apology tool. Gee, I apologize for what I did here, and in the future, here's what I'm going to do. That's what apology looks like, and make the demand for an apology from him. It's like, you are a big boy, and it's time for you to start to grow up and be responsible for your actions. So, the next time you F you to me, that's going to be our last communication until I hear a sincere apology. And then you live by that apology. Because I'm not here to be whipped and beaten. It's not my job. And it's not your job.
Yeah.
And I fully understand the challenge and the difficulty of being in the middle of his mom and his dad and the whole family scene. That's a tough, tough place. Breathing with you.
Thanks. So, thank you, Michael.
Jeannie, do you have any thoughts to share?
No, you pretty much covered it, and I totally agree. You know, just giving in to him and just letting him have his way is basically telling him, yeah, that's okay, talk to me like that. And you deserve that.
And
so
you might go
better.
Back and review. You know, you did some work with a particular therapist when Luke was going through some of this. You might go back and review some of your notes from that and the kind of input and advice that they gave you.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. I've even thought of calling her, but I do have all the notes, and it's pretty much, I mean, I don't even want to go to this Al-Anon because I'm sure I'll hear stuff I know, but on the other hand, I guess I have to hear it again. Yeah.
Well, and you never know, the right Al-Anon group, there might be the parent or the grandparent who's broken through that and shares a pathway that makes sense and helps you to open the space. I got that you're working to open the space for him and for yourself and for your daughter as well, because she's very involved in this, even though she's put her hand up and said, I'm out of here. She's very involved. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I acknowledge you for hanging in there, and I'd insist on being treated with respect.
Yeah.
You deserve that. You really, truly deserve that.
I agree.
And you know what we're talking about is all playing out power person dynamics. You know, another thought that comes perhaps is you might want to dig out the power person worksheet from the codependence intensive. And opposed to sending it to him, because he can play his little, you know, this is bullshit game, you might just tell him you've got a worksheet here. It's a different kind of worksheet. And you're going to ask him some questions. You're going to fill it out for him.
Yeah.
And really have a conversation that goes through each of those steps. And when it's complete, maybe then send it to him so he can, you know, remember the power we talked about in that codependence intensive, being able to step back and become the thinker apart from the thought, the feeler apart from the feelings, the actor apart from the actions. And if you can get him to spill the answers through that whole extended power person worksheet, and then send him a copy, it might be something that helps him to start to step back a little bit from his own mind and see what it is he's doing. Right now it's so in his face that he can play being totally and completely unconscious.
That's a great idea. I like that idea a lot.
So maybe you do the writing, you fill it out, and who knows, you may be doing a codependence worksheet for yourself as well.
Yeah, right.
You know, walk them through the three early memories exercise. Walk them through the power person worksheet. Walk them through the codependence worksheet. And maybe you become the secretary and write it down. But I'd definitely be inviting him to use the apology tool to begin the process.
Okay. Thank you, Michael.
Breathing with you, dear heart.
No, you've got to
holding
go.
A space of compassion and understanding.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that's
the show's
going to
cut us off in a moment
part
or so.
Of what we do. Okay. Yeah.
All right, we're here.
Thanks.
Blessings. Lots of love. Alrighty. Bye-bye.